Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to bring you a conversation with a very, very accomplished and senior technology leader from India, Farhana Haque. Farhana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Farhana works for Microsoft. She is a group director for device sales in India. She's earlier worked with Vodafone, Infosys, and IBM, and she's on the advisory board of FICCI Empowering Women. FICCI is the Federation of Indian Chambers and Commerce and Industry, for those who don't know what FICCI is. So Farhana, before I start talking to you about Microsoft, what was your motivation to select technology as a career?
I think I've always been a bit more inclined towards technology. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the time when we were growing up, it wasn't a preferred technology. It was the way we see technology was just beginning to shoot out, right? And Infosys was just formed and TCS was there. And so I think the concept of finding out how things work, I've always been a very curious child, as I've told, and how things work, a little more breaking things and fixing them up. So mm-hmm. I think that basic trait as a child got nurtured into being curious. And that's how I got into technology. It wasn't a very thought through thing, but I just find learning, unlearning, then learning very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how I came about.
I like the way you say it, in our time, because by that extension, as they would say, mere to pair pe kaur mein latke hue hain.
So, you know, when you have little kids at home who make you feel very just.
I know, I understand.
Yeah, of course.
No, absolutely not. So tell me about the work you do as a group director for device sales in India at Microsoft.
So it's very interesting. It's a very interesting time in the world where we talk a lot about cloud, right? And at Microsoft, we say something, and it's there in our mission statement, mm-hmm. enabling every person and organization in the world to do more. So we're talking about doing more at the edge mm-hmm. and at the cloud.
Okay.
So a lot of people talk about a lot about the cloud. So Microsoft Devices team works more on developing the edge, mm-hmm. right? So where we talk about how do we work with our partner ecosystem mm-hmm. to ensure you have those solutions which can enable you to do more, which can empower you to do more. So we work with a lot of OEM partners in solutions which will help develop the edge solutions.
So for our viewers and listeners, Farhana, help us understand what is the meaning of the edge.
Oh, perfect. You know, sometimes you forget that some terms are not commonly
yes.
used.
Yes.
So think about, I'll go back to my Vodafone days of IoT and that. Mm-hmm. Think about a smart car, mm-hmm. okay? There, and now you've seen all these ads of apps where you can find your car, assuming, right? So now how do you find the car? Mm. Because there is something in the car which helps you share the location to your phone. Mm-hmm. So what is a something is called edge. So it is the final point, or the point from where you consume your information or disseminate information. That's your edge. So it's the edge of the world, edge.
So if maybe in simpler terms, this would be where, at the point where Microsoft becomes a B2C.
B2C or B2B. If okay. I take a B2B example, mm-hmm. if I take a B2C, it's your PC. Your mm-hmm. laptop is an edge, right? Mm-hmm. In your laptop, you're doing a lot of work. You have a software, but you need security at that aspect, because that's your world, right? In the current scheme of things, that's your world. So that's for B2C, even B2B, your laptop is one example of an edge. Okay. For B2B, it will be all your sensors, mm-hmm. meter readings, your Starbucks coffee machines. Mm-hmm. So it can be different connotations. So the edge can have different looks and shapes and forms, and can be different elements. It can be like a laptop, to a meter reading, to a meter, to a car, to a coffee machine, to a smartwatch. Hmm. Can be anything.
Okay. So what you're then explaining to me, and I'm sorry I'm being a little dense on this, but
absolutely right.
the when I saw the designation device sales, I thought you were talking about some of your hardware devices. But what you're saying is the software that is running multiple devices.
So Microsoft works on the edge in two broad areas, right? Mm-hmm. One is where we work with our partners, where they develop the hardware, mm-hmm. and we support them with the software which goes on the hardware.
Okay.
And then there's another aspect, which is our own Microsoft hardware, which mm-hmm. is your Surface, which is the Xbox and the works, right? Okay. So we do both.
Okay, very interesting. So, you know, there are technology companies and technology companies. Microsoft is a global technology company from the US. We've got a whole lot of Indian technology companies. How are some of these major technology companies putting India on the global map?
I think India has a unique strength of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way we, and it's evident if you see the amount of Indians doing really well in technology everywhere in the world. But I think the core strength is the way we, when we grow up, mm-hmm. the emphasis on maths and science.
Mm-hmm.
Very early on, our engineering colleges, our even basic schools, right? Our mm-hmm. curriculum is very focused on maths and science. And I think that talent pool is expanding. And we're not saying that other countries don't, but we just had a little bit ahead because the focus was so much on it. And so I think talent is one aspect. The mm-hmm. other aspect is, as a country, we are very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Language, capability, skills. We are very diverse from a Bharat to India, like you said, the digital divide, urban versus rural.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this diversity, there's a very richness in the solutions that we can bring to the table, mm-hmm. right? The products that can be created. Because when you make something, when you develop something which can cater to the 1 billion odd people we have in the country, that can cater to every, because you've taken a little bit of every need into consideration. Mm-hmm. So I think I would call these two things where technology companies prefer, like can leverage a lot on: A, diversity of skills and experiences, and B, talent, availability of talent.
Fascinating. So, you know, Farhana, Microsoft is what I would call an incredibly successful product company. I mean, look at the incredible amount of products that are coming out of Microsoft, starting with the simple, the Microsoft Office suite. And yet, despite such large Indian tech companies, we don't have enough products coming out. What do you think is the reason why Indian companies are not investing in developing global products?
I think we are. See, it's also a matter of timing, right, Ashutosh? It's a matter of look at the startups. Look at the amount of unicorns. Look at the technology companies, technology startups which have come. So I think it's just a matter of the timing. So I think all the large companies obviously have been there for some time. So I think things, if you talk about, there was this book of Thomas Friedman on globalization, right? The walls coming down. So I think that was the start of globalization. So that was just 2 decades back, not even very long back, right?
True.
So I think from there, then you talk about all the startups which have come up and in the country, the way it's developed, the way India has been on the map. India's already on the map. But first, it was only about exporting talent. Now, even you've seen the companies or importing talent. You have so many people leaving global companies and coming and joining the Indian startups. So I think it is there. It's just a matter of time since we have products. But even with us, we've created so many products which have been created with Microsoft, with India in the mind, and then kind of gone global. So, yeah.
Well said. Well said. So my next question is on the pandemic. You know, coming close to 2 years now, working from home, starting a little bit in office, back again working from home. How has the pandemic thrown up so many more opportunities for the digital economy? And for particularly for someone like you, who is working, if I can use the term, on the edge.
It's driven me on the edge. Absolutely, the work. So, but like Satya said I think he said in a blog, and he sent it, said in Ignite, our world is not going back. We can call it the new normal, but the way we work is not going to go back for pre 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a hybrid work.
Okay.
It's going to be a hybrid learn. It's going to be a hybrid world, right? And One thing we realized during the pandemic was it works, right? If I take only India, the last 10, 15 years of my career has been only in India. And if I take our perception as a sales leader used to always be that you can't close a deal unless you're sitting in front of the customer.
Correct.
Okay, unless you have that cup of coffee, you're talking to him, you can't close, you can't do sales like that. But we did, right? You can't work in the channel. I used to remember my channel leader telling me that you, unless I go meet the channel partner on the in the interiors of the market, I'm not going to be able to close a deal. Mm-hmm. But we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who drive the market, right? In the channel, right? So I think the pandemic has taught us multiple things. The pandemic has taught us one, that people evolve. And the evolution of people and then is not a function of the education level or whether they're in a tier two city or a tier three city or a big country. It's a function of the need and how they want to get to the need. That's one. Mm. Second, where technology has supported in this evolution.
Mm.
So there will be a hybrid world, which is there to stay. We can't roll back time and say, okay, even if offices start now, it's acceptable to have a call taken from home. It's acceptable to have your kid, your dog, your parent coming in and budging in the middle of a meeting. So things and our level of acceptabilities have changed significantly in the last 2 years. And it's going to stay.
Mm.
It's not going to go back.
Fascinating. And as a tech leader who's been working so much in the digital space, if you were to look at, say, a crystal ball in front of you, what would you say are some of your top predictions for the digital economy?
See, digital economy, I have always believed, and even before, because the last decade of my years, I've worked so much on digital transformation across IBM, Vodafone, and Microsoft, is digital is the thing that can act, that can bridge the divides between rural and urban, that can bridge the divide between have been and has and privileged, right? Underprivileged and privileged, that can bridge the divide between capability and ability. So I think digital has always been the center and the foundation which can take this wheel forward.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in the last 2 years is that journey has exponentially increased.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say whatever we're doing or whatever we will do, and I don't need a crystal ball for that, Ashutosh, mm-hmm. whatever we'll do in the future is something very radically different from what we were doing.
Okay.
All these conversations were happening.
Mm-hmm.
The timing has just got rushed. So we see now, and the very heartening conversations on telemedicines, right? On companies focusing on remote medicines. Telemedicine has been there for ages, right? But the pandemic and these 2 years of lockdown and the way it shook most of us, actually everyone, it impacted everyone's life. It was not limited to you're not vaccinated or vaccinated. Everyone's life got impacted by the pandemic.
Correct.
Is that people have now taken a conscious call to do more in that space, to provide a platform, to be able to get doctors to access to people who don't have basic primary healthcare or basic healthcare. So I think what I foresee is a lot more technology to help a lot more in causes which impact human life, be it education, be it healthcare, be it financial security in these aspects. Technology to help more in enabling larger companies like manufacturing and automation and industrial in automating a lot of stuff and not making it using the people resources to do a bit more higher end work and the menial ones to be more automated and leveraging technology there. So I think everything that we predicted would happen, but the timelines have got exacerbated more.
So one more question about for relating to technology, and then I move to another segment. Farhana, everyone's talking of artificial intelligence, machine learning, blockchains, robotics, drones. I want to ask you, as a tech leader, what in your opinion will all these technology improvements impact the common individual?
Oh, it's my favorite subject.
Okay.
IoT and AI and machine learning is my favorite subject. I'm extremely passionate about it. I always, and there's been something when people ask, oh, you know, how is it going to impact human life? Is it going to take away work? No, it isn't. It's like people evolve, right? We evolved. Darwin's theory of evolution, we evolved. So technology also evolves. Mm. Think about consumer. Mm. Okay, let's take a COVID example. Everything is touchless. Mm. All that is AI, right? And all that is IoT enabled. Mm. Something as basic as that. It is going to make your life more secure. It is going to make your life more easy. It is going to make your life more safe in a way. So I think different aspects of it from a consumer perspective, from an industrial perspective, obviously the profitability improves, your cost to serve improves, your ability to do more improves. So they're various examples. So I've always believed that AI, machine learning, IoT, all of it obviously is interlinked to each other, sure. Right? Robotics, all of it is linked. They're not siloed.
Correct.
Technologies. They are maybe little mutually exclusive in every play, but collectively exhaustive, right? So I think all of it comes together will make our life easier. And the facet of, or the way of making the life easier could be very different. A favorite use case of mine is, obviously medicine is top of mind for everyone, is imagine if you have basic BP checking machines or diabetes checking or oximeters, which could now you have to do it physically. But if you are living alone, your parents are living alone, and if you have the IoT enabled oximeter or sugar machine or a BP machine, which could transmit to their primary caregiver or primary doctor that oxygen level is low, how much it would have helped in COVID cases, right? So I think that's the beauty of these new technologies. No, I wouldn't call it new technologies. These technologies, they will make the life much, much more simpler and easier. Obviously, there are challenges. There are roadblocks. There will be concerns which need to be addressed. But that's a separate question.
Fascinating. So one more question. As you were talking, it came to my mind. There's also a lot of debate on issues of privacy. You know, every time I say something on my phone, something pops up here, something pops up there, you know, on different formats, different platforms. I'd love to get your perspective on how does this privacy matter work?
See, we at Microsoft strongly believe that as our worlds between personal and professional have got merged and fungible, there's no better word for it, fungible.
Correct.
It's important that whoever we work with for as our partners or the software layer have to be extremely secure. You use the same laptop for work, you use the same laptop for watching Netflix or Amazon or YouTube, right? You have the same phone where you see your emails and your phone has your primary pictures of your kids and everything. So the worlds have merged. So your technology has to now be smart enough to identify threats and security and take action. Mm-hmm. Not wait for you to react to take action. Just take action proactively. That's one. Second thing, privacy is something where, like, we have something called, we have in our teams and our solutions, we in Microsoft Office M365, we have solutions where you have ability to monitor what your child is seeing or secure. So I think when it comes to that, as grown-ups, we have an option in all our technology, even including a phone, of to switch off, to say, not to share your location, not to share data. So I think a little bit of awareness from consumers to understand that saying accept all button, it's easier to do it, but don't accept all. Read the script, because the worlds are getting merged. A little bit ownership and a lot of more ownership with the companies which provide the technology and the solutions to ensure that what they build takes that security, privacy into consideration, especially when we go on scale. So because in India, if you do everything, you do it on scale, right? So yeah.
Fascinating. So Farhana, let me move now to a couple of other questions that I have time for. You do a lot of work in supporting STEM education for women and the girl child. Tell me more about what you do.
So I I mentor a lot of women who are interested to do technology. So it could be different through different foundations, personal, professional, through different activities. So I'm on a lot of startups where I'm mentoring them. I'm on a lot of these foundations where you're mentoring women and girl and anyone in the space of technology education. It's driven from the thought that when I did engineering, I think we were very couple of people who did engineering. And more so, I think I was the first Muslim girl in my engineering college. So it got me thinking that, it was okay for me, but my profs found it very fascinating because it was always told me, you know, you're the first Muslim girl who's coming. And I'm like, why is it even a point to discuss?
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you that.
I found it very weird. We grew up in different parts of the world. So for us, we are amalgamation of culture, religions, everything kind of stuff. So I think for me, that was a very weird kind of question that why is it being pointed out? But it must be something which is not normal for them. So yeah. So that's one. Second thing, I did engineering in civil. I wanted to make construction companies, but I remember doing and I won't name the company, but I was doing my internship with them and I wanted to go on the field and they looked at me and they said, we can't take you to the field. You help us make presentations. And I'm like, I didn't do civil engineering to do presentations, but you know, like I said,
maybe they wanted you to look at PowerPoint as you know, the platform.
Absolutely. I think it was premonition that I should come and join Microsoft. But that got me thinking a lot on STEM education. That got me a lot of thinking a lot about there should be more and more women doing engineering, science and maths. I love maths. I wanted at one period of time when I was conflicted between careers, I wanted between doing a master's and I all wanted to be an IAS with maths as a subject. So I love maths as much. So that got me thinking. And then I've been mentoring a lot of women. I'm so impressed with the maturity of the girls nowadays of the current generation. I just spoke last week to a girl who's in her second year engineering and she was talking to me of how to draft her career in technology companies. And I'm like, you're in second year engineering. I was just focused on clearing the semester. But I think that's the thing, right? And I think that's all. And it's not at all any effort, honestly, Ashutosh. It's just a patient ear to listen, a little words of advice, which we do it normally. So I think. Certainly. And then obviously investing. For example, when we did this, when this pandemic hit, we worked extensively for Teach for India to provide them devices and M365 and solutions to help children study and ensure that the study is not broken. So, yeah.
Fascinating. Farah, my last question to you. You're on the advisory board of FICCI Empowering Women.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you do here.
So it's taking that step of mentoring into a much more structured environment. It is about talking to different companies and advising them. A lot of women entrepreneurs, and there's FICCI where being on the board helps. Then there is this another startup foundation in Bangalore, which again does the same thing, which focuses on women entrepreneurs only. So I think being on these boards help those people have access to us to guide them of how to go about in their careers. That's one. Second thing is when you're starting your own company, you're kind of lost of how to go about. You know, what is the final, how do you build a business case? What is your product positioning? What is your, how are you going to pitch for it? Who are you going to pitch for it? Who are the right people you need to know? How do you build that ecosystem of network? I think what we do is to ensure that we give these people that platform and that access.
Fascinating. Farhan, on that note, thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me about so many new things that you are doing at Microsoft, that you're leading. Thank you for telling me about Edge and the cloud or outer space, if I can use the term. You know, talking to you has been so knowledgeable for me. I mean, I've only heard lots of these terms of artificial intelligence, machine learning, IoT, et cetera, but you actually made a lot of these things come alive for us. And thank you for telling me about the work you're doing to mentor a lot of women. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Ashutosh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.